I mean, anybody with eyes.
I mean, what's going to happen next? You're going to see NFL players doing the running with the bulls over in Spain or something? Just to be new and trendy?
Yeah, that just helps with conditioning in the offseason. Don't be ridiculous.
I mean, anybody with eyes knows that was a catch.
Again, alongside Dustin Bork. Well, not alongside, but you know what I mean. Dustin Bork, and this is Wednesdays with Wade. Still waiting on Wade to call in. Wade San Diego, from wherever the heck in the country he may be calling in from. We have a huge, huge show for you today, and the reason why I say huge is because it is probably the most hot-button topic we've had in the NFL in quite some time, and that is this whole Tom Brady development. So, bear with us, but this show is going to be a Tom Brady show. It's the Tom Brady Files, and it's classified. Dustin Bork, I know you have had sort of a conflicting opinion. I mean, I know you don't like the Patriots. I know you don't like Tom Brady, but you think he's a great quarterback, which I think anybody with logic knows he's a great quarterback. Do you feel that because of current events that have happened, because of the destroying of the cell phone, and because of the inability, rather, to cooperate with this investigation, that Brady's just making himself look more and more guilty every single day?
I agree with you. So this is what I'm having trouble with, was the destroyed phone. Because anybody, you know, who was looking from afar could have taken either side. You know, you could have gone with the New England side, and you could have been like, well, you know, give me a break. You know, the weather somehow impacts the pressure of the ball. And then you could have also taken the approach of, well, it kind of is ridiculous that half the balls had the air out of them, this, that, and the other. And you could say that they have the track record for altering stretching the rules as much as you could possibly do without actually breaking them. You can take one of two sides. And I was honestly from afar, non-New England guy, right? I was born and raised, but I couldn't stand anything about the franchise. I was still giving them the benefit of the doubt. I was like, you know, give me a break. You could do full pressure to low pressure. It doesn't matter. That game isn't going to change. That blowout isn't going to change. So it's just one of those things where I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm just not sure about what to think, you know?
Yeah, and first of all, I do apologize for the audio quality. I'm not in front of my microphone right now. I'm at beautiful Saratoga Racetrack up in upstate New York. I have family and friends up. Friends are from the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, where I attended. They're up visiting for the first time. So if I do sound like a caller today, I actually am a caller. So again, I do apologize for the non-crispness of my 12-year-old sounding voice. But here's the thing with me, okay? If this was a criminal investigation, if this were a murder case, I know that's an extreme to relate related footballs to murders, but if this was a murder case, Tom Brady would be liable. He would be subpoenaed, he would be brought in, and all points of his entire life would be subject to go in front of the court. So, for instance, if Tom Brady were to destroy his phone in a criminal investigation when they need to know that there was evidence on that phone, well, boom, that would be a big thing against him. Now, Robert Kraft basically declared war earlier today on Roger Goodell and the league. Can't play the full audio clip. We will play a little bit. For you guys to see. But basically, with Tom Brady, he claims, well, I change phones all the time. I change phones every couple months. I do this, I do that. He says invasion has a phone, and that he gave them documents, printed out versions of his text messages on them, saying, well, this should be good enough. This should work. Well, not really, because a cell phone is, you know, a cell phone is the living proof. You can print out anything. I could go on Word document right now, what they look like, printed from the company. So that's not
concrete. Chris, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Yeah, well, you're going in and out, man. It's like you're standing under a bridge or something.
So I am at the Saratoga Racetrack, so it is a little bit tough maybe to hear with all the other stuff. Yeah, am I good now?
Yeah, it's not that there's other stuff that's noisy. It's that your signal is literally dropping in and out every other word, so trying to listen to you make a point is painful.
Oh, well, here's the thing. I'm looking at the screen while I'm on my phone, and on the broadcast itself, I just sent a text message over to the studio, and it is coming through. It is coming through. It's just maybe a little bit, you might not be able to hear well. You've cut in and out several times as well.
Yeah, you sound fine right now. So.
Oh, well, then I'll sit still. I won't move. The fact is with this is that Tom Brady destroyed a cell phone when the league specifically asked for his cell phone. And they basically said, all right, you give us the phone, you prove that, you know, you didn't do this and that you didn't text the ball boys to do this before the game, and we'll let you off the hook. Tom Brady failed to do that. He destroyed the phone, which just makes him look completely guilty. I mean, any CSI-type crime scene investigation-type show that I've ever seen has had destruction of evidence being, you know, going against the accused. And, you know, I just think Brady is so arrogant with this, and he should just take his suspension and be done with it, because really the Patriots don't care. The Patriots care about January. They care about the playoffs. They care about a Super Bowl. And we do have Wade on the line, but Wade, before you chime in on this, let me finish this one point. Tom Brady basically just needs to stop fighting here because of two points. One, if he goes to federal court, everything is going to come out. And I don't just mean the deflated football fiasco. I don't just mean, you know, the what he told the ball boys. I don't mean any of that. Everything is under sworn testimony. So these ball boys are going to have to tell the absolute truth. Tom Brady is going to have to tell the absolute truth, and things might come out that might not even have been released yet. These defense attorneys and these prosecutors. So who knows with that this could be end up being a bigger mess than anybody even thought it was going to be. And then you look at the fact of this. Okay, well, Tom Brady didn't. Okay, and Brady had nothing to do with it. Belichick had nothing to do with it, and Kraft had nothing to do with it. Why did they fire the ball boys? Why did they release them? If there's nothing there, if there's no concrete evidence there that they did this, why did they let them go? What did they let everybody else? Why did they let those two go that were supposedly do this? I mean, it's just fishy to me. Wait, buddy, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I mean, I know you've had strong opinions. I know that you mentioned a little bit last time we spoke off air that it was an invasion of privacy, so to say, that this was, you know, the league overstepping their bounds. And now when this comes out, what do you make of all the evidence? I'm sure you've heard Robert Kraft's speech this morning against the league.
Oh, so what I make of it is this whole destroying the cell phone thing is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Because it's called cell phone company.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that he did it.
And it's called Records. And Ted Wells was absolutely able to get everything that he needed to get from Tom Brady, and Tom Brady supplied it to him via his lawyers and his record. He got what he needed.
Okay.
It was just a physical phone that was destroyed. So everybody's Go ahead.
No, obviously, before you came on air today, I mentioned that in a criminal investigation, which I know this is not yet, if he takes it to court, it will be, but in a criminal investigation, let's say it's a murder case, okay, if the murderer, like let's say with Aaron Hernandez, when he texted his girlfriend to hide the box that contained the gun or contained whatever, okay, and he texted her and said, hide this box before the cops get there, well, okay, on that phone, they were able to obtain his phone, saw the text message, boom, 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 they used it in court. If the prosecutor in the court were to ask for it and the judge were to say, we want your phone, because the league asked for this cell phone 3, 4, 5 times, and they just kept saying, you're not getting it, you're not getting it. If a prosecutor were to say, we want your cell phone to prove these records have happened, okay, whether you provided text documents, if you destroyed your evidence, that's another charge. That's a crime against you right there. So just the fact is that we're not in federal court. I don't know why we expect it to hold up now. I mean, if Brady was completely innocent, why bother destroying the phone?
The entire case wouldn't hold up in federal court. That's why the fact that Tom Brady bringing it to federal court is such a big deal. Because in federal court, the prosecutor needs to establish beyond a reasonable doubt, that the defendant is guilty. And you can't prove that Brady is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. That can't happen. It doesn't happen. That's why I'm excited. Bring it to court. Thumbs up. Let's watch this play out in the legal system, because it's not going to happen the way everybody thinks it's going to happen. There's no hard evidence. That's what Bob Kraft keeps saying, and the reason why he keeps saying it is because, in the court of public opinion, and when it comes to the NFL, Roger Goodell can rule however he wants to rule all the time. But you bring it to federal court, where Goodell is not in charge, where there are these clear rules that you need to follow, ways to win a case, with what the NFL has right now, including the Wells report, a judge will look at the Wells report and go, that's great. I'm pumped that you guys wasted $5 million to pay him to do that. But it still doesn't prove that Tom Brady knew anything. It doesn't prove that he participated. It doesn't prove that he was knowing. It doesn't prove anything.
Problem that I'm having with this whole thing is the fact that no one's even like, what happened to showmanship, right? So no one, if Tom had literally come out and said, hey, I lost my phone in a lake because we were out on a boat water skiing and yada yada yada, like,
and that's bad timing though.
Right. I get the bad timing thing, but don't you think in the eyes of the casual reader, right? The objective reader that doesn't give a crap about anybody, right? Who's reading this. And if they're like, well, you know, there was supposed to be text message back and forth, yada, yada, yada. We went and we wanted to try to receive the phone to see if we could, you know, look into that. But Tom said that, you know, that weekend he happened to be out at a lake having fun, water skiing, kneeboarding with the family, and the phone went over. And unfortunately, we weren't able to retrieve that. But instead, so that wasn't the story, right? So now the story is, well, we asked Tom for the phone. He said, absolutely not. And he said, you can see my, you know, my rights as an American and reference that. And so, okay, fine. He said no. And then finally, when they're like, well, it might go to court, so we're probably going to need to see that phone, it was destroyed. It was a backhoe drove over it, and you can't do it anymore. So what Wade's saying is right. You can absolutely call up Verizon or AT&T, whoever the service provider is that he has, and you can retrieve the actual, you know, call logs and the actual text messages from number to number. Obviously, it's not going to be as simple. It won't have contacts. You know, you won't know who it is. You'll have to go, you know, well, this number is this person, and this was said from this number to that number. So it requires just a slight little bit more of detective savvy. But I just got to, you know, you got to think, what would have really happened, okay, if a few months back when this whole thing broke the surface, if Brady would have just come out and said, yeah, whatever, man. I like the balls with a little bit of air let out of them. You know, no skin off my back.
That's not an option for him, though.
It's not an option now, because it's like when you're a little kid and you lie a million times, and then you have to keep the same.
It wasn't an option for him then.
No, telling the truth is always an option, though. That's the issue, right? If you had just come out and you had said, yeah, I like the ball with a little less air out of it, slap on the wrist, you get a $50,000 fine. You're not losing draft picks. You're not getting $1 million fine to the team. You're not missing games. None of that is happening.
I don't think that's true.
Well, I guarantee you he's not getting suspended for 4 games way ahead of the playoffs. I'm talking before anything broke. I'm talking the second this story came out, okay? So this was like mid to late season, last season, when we got a whiff of this. Then it got put off until after the Super Bowl. Then the Wells report happened, and then it got put off another few months, and then it started to really catch some steam recently. I'm saying right when it first came out, okay, he comes out and he's like, yeah, I like whatever, man. It helps me grip the ball better. He's got, apparently, according to Bill from Long Island, the best quarterback in the game currently backing him up. Yeah, I prefer to grip the ball that way too. So now you have potentially the two best quarterbacks in the NFL saying, I prefer the ball with a little less air in it. Nothing too extreme, nothing to the point where it's affecting, you know, the defenders from making a play, and it's helping us, you know, avoid fumbles. Nothing for a major competitive edge. It's just so I can grip the ball better in the snow and in the rain, because we play in that, and a lot of you guys don't. You can't tell me if he came out and he made it a logical thing like that, he admitted to it, that we wouldn't be done and over. They would still have the asterisks up. Well, oh, the Patriots deflate gate, and they always seem to find a way to bend the rules but not break them with this whole lineman thing that they just changed last year, where, you know, you can have an extra guy in and technically he's a part of the O-line, and then you move him over and all of a sudden he isn't. Now you don't have a defender to cover him. Like, they clearly come up with ways to find every inch of the rule book and to just to use the crap out of it and to surprise players. So this is my point,
though. That is smart.
I get that that's smart, and that's why, to this day, you ask me who the best coach of the league is Bill Belichick, and I think he'll probably be the best coach I'll ever see in my lifetime. But the facts remain. What I'm saying is, if Tom had just said, yeah, whatever, I let a little air out of the ball, I prefer it that way, end. That's it. You cannot tell me he'd have a 4-game suspension, potentially be going to federal court for lying. You know, this thing with the Wells report, this drawn out, all it would have done would this slight little kick to the shin of his legacy. That's what it would have been.
I disagree.
How, though? Explain to
me
how.
I will. Because it's Tom Brady.
Well, guys,
as soon as he gets
brought up. Wait, let me ask you. You seem to be pretty knowledgeable in the federal evidence department and things like that. Why then? Okay.
How are you putting words in my mouth so you can sound like you're about to correct me? I'm not a federal lawyer. I don't practice law.
If nobody has any blame in the Patriots organization for this, now no one's saying that the ball was flat. No one's saying there was
a ball
egregious
boy, I already
offense.
Know what you're going to say. Because
the ball boy. Why would they fire the ball boy?
Chain of command. Because they did act, regardless of whether Tom Brady was knowing of the footballs, the pressure inside the balls or not. If we put that aside as a separate issue and talk about why these guys got fired, The reason why these guys got fired was because, regardless of whether Tom Brady knew what was happening or not, they did violate the chain of command, the chain of custody, rather. They violated it. So whether Tom Brady was knowing or not, that guy, those guys broke the rules. They violated game day procedures, so they needed to be let go. That doesn't mean Tom Brady knew that they were doing that. It means that they broke chain of custody. There's proof they broke chain of custody, so somebody needs to be on the block for that, and it's the two people that they have on camera violating chain of custody rules.
So can I ask you both a simple question? So I know that Wade has played football in the past, and I'm pretty sure you're pretty familiar with football also, Chris. If you are at the professional level, so we're talking, you are at the tippity top of the mountain as far as an athlete and a football player, and you've probably touched your share of millions of footballs throughout your life, college, pro, even back to when you were a kid. So now you're one of these guys. There's guys like Peyton Manning that needs to go out and do his same throwing routine before every football game. Otherwise, crap's hitting the fan. So these are very superstitious, very professional athletes we're talking about. Put yourself in that situation. Do you really think if you're entering, Brady's going to be what, 35 pretty soon? If you're entering that level of your career where you are clearly a veteran, don't you think if a football was altered, you'd be able to know the difference by touching it, especially if you're throwing the ball 100 times a game?
I would have to touch a football because I don't know that I would be able to detect -2 pounds per square inch out of 14 total in a football while I'm holding it. If we want to get a pump and make a video and do it, and then if I'm wrong, I'll go, yeah, I was wrong. I can tell the difference. Then sure, I will do that. But I can't honestly sit here and give you an answer that isn't just pure speculation because I don't know. It could feel the exact same to me because 2 pounds per square inch is almost negligible. So I can't honestly say that I would be able to tell the difference without having.
What do you think, Chris? Chris, what do you think?
I mean, I've thrown a professional football, but a game ball per se. But, to me, it's not about that. To me, it's about, I'm looking at it more from a legal standpoint. I'm not looking at it more from, okay, the ball was a little deflated. That was 6 months ago, plus. Okay, I'm looking more now at the fact that, okay, the facts aren't adding up. They fired these two ball guys, which if Brady continues this and goes to federal court, those two guys are going to bring the truth out anyway because they have to under federal oath. So
don't
we're
you
find
think
out-
that is a consequence that he has already thought of, considering he pays one lawyer more money than we make in a year and he does it per day? Don't you think that this is a calculated move and that they know that if this goes to federal court, those two ball boys are going to have to take the stand? Of course they know that. It probably works in their favor. That's why they're doing it.
But I'm just wondering.
You have me confused because the way that you just said that, you said it very like the Pats know what they're doing. Swift moves, like they got like a special move up their sleeve.
I think Brady, his lawyers and the NFLPA know what they're doing.
Know what they're doing, meaning like they know what they're gonna do in order to make it seem as if he was innocent, or they know what they're doing because they know that he is truly innocent and they want all of this to go to court because at that point everyone will be under oath and have to bring the truth to the surface. Because
I think they're happy to do that. Because right now the way everything happens, there's no real media coverage. You don't know what gets said behind those doors. Because it's closed off, it's a private business, it's the NFL, it's you know, there are unions involved. But if this goes to federal court, it will be public, people will know what's being said, who is saying it, they will be on official record, and I think that Tom Brady did not participate in this. And you know what? If he did, whatever. I'm still a Pats fan, and we still are the most successful football franchise as of late. But anyway, they want to do this because it helps them. It works in their benefit that everybody's under oath, that the two ball boys will have to take the stand next to a judge and say, yeah, you know, obviously we can't say whether we did or did not violate chain of custody because there we are on tape doing it. But Tom Brady didn't tell us to do it. They could just think about it like this. Let me present a scenario for you like this. You're ball boy for, you know, the Cowboys, right? And your job are mm-hmm. the balls. And you notice over however many years of doing this for the Cowboys that Tony Romo likes the balls a certain way. So without talking to him about it, you just do it because that's your job. You want to make him happy. You're a ball boy, so obviously you're a fan. So you're sitting there, and the leader of your team, you know he likes something a certain way. Wouldn't you just do it? It's not that far-fetched to think that these guys would just do that because they know that Tom Brady likes it like that.
Okay, but if really, that ball is under the legal limit, then they've been cheating that entire time then, which brings in the case, you know? I mean, it brings
right,
in the whole...
But what we're talking about right now is, did Tom Brady willingly participate? That's what we're talking about. That's what's going to court. And I'm saying I'm not a lawyer. I'm 28 years old, and I'm a college dropout, and I can cast a shadow of a doubt over this whole thing in a podcast on Wednesday.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you rather, as a Patriots fan, and you seem a pretty diehard Patriots fan, despite living in the Sunshine State, let me ask you this. Would you rather...
Well, I lived in New Hampshire for the first 28 years of my life, so...
I know. I'm just saying, would you prefer... Brady just go, all right, you know what? Screw it. They'll miss the first four games of the season, come back with a vengeance, because look at it this way. The Patriots don't care about September. The Patriots care about January. And if this
Oh, no, they care about September because the year that Tom Brady was out, they went 11-5 and still missed the playoffs. So, yeah, they care about September.
If this thing goes to federal court, there's a very good chance it could get delayed, okay? He could be dealing with this all season long. You know his head's not going to be in it if that happens. And would you rather him miss the middle part of the middle of the part of the end of the season, dealing with all of these repercussions from almost a year before? Or would you just say, you know what, we've got a confident team, we've got a good backup, just have Brady sit, he'll come back week five with a vengeance and, you know, and be good. You know, I mean,
As a fan, yeah. it would be epic if he just you know, took it on the chin, came back five games, we make the playoffs, and, you know, make a deep run or win the Super Bowl. That would be epic. However, as somebody who, you know, doesn't have a legacy at all, but I would love to have one, I'm sure it would be great, if at the end of it, somebody is throwing dirt to tarnish my legacy, if he's really innocent, then... 100%, dude. I'm all for him doing what he needs to do to clear his name. If he's innocent, then he's got to do what he's got to do to prove that. As a football fan, obviously I want my team to win. I want Tom Brady there, and I want him there all the time. I'll take Tom Brady at 80 years old.
That's well, true. So would I. I think anybody would.
Right.
I'm a diehard Cowboys fan since I knew what football was. I'd take Brady over Romo in a heartbeat. So I know what you're saying.
I think that if he's innocent and he's saying that he's innocent, then he's doing the right thing stepping towards that and bringing it to court. Because if you're innocent, you're not going to just step off your soapbox because it's convenient. And I think he has full ability to move forward and do what he needs to do to prove his innocence because Bob Kraft knows that he kind of hung him out to dry when they jumped on that grenade and ate that fine and those draft picks on the chin. Because it did appear like they were just trying to deal with it and move on. And now he comes out and he says that he was, you know, there were other reasons for that. Whether that's true or not is another whole debate by itself. But I think...
Well, he has lost all faith in the league. He said his one mistake was
trusting the league. Yeah, and you know what? You and I will never, ever know, but if him and Roger Goodell had a conversation where it was like, hey, if you just as a team accept responsibility, then... You know, maybe Brady gets two games or we'll just wipe it all out. And things played out in a way that it things were lining up in a way that I thought that that was going to happen. Because you have all these other people. Yeah, you've got all these other people getting their suspensions reduced. And all of a sudden, when Bob Kraft initially takes that brunt on the chin, he went from screaming about how they were innocent to just doing that. So that would, to me, indicates that a very smart businessman and another very smart businessman got together behind closed doors, made a deal. Bob Kraft did it. And again, just speculating, I don't know, but maybe it seems like Roger Goodell pulled out of that in the last minute. And now...
So the only thing that I'm very about is the fact that everybody knows how close Kraft and Goodell were, right? Whether they're selling the fact that, you know, it's a burnt bridge and they're not anymore, or that's really the truth. That just seems to me to reek of, you know, I used to be a referee in a sports league a long time ago. They wouldn't allow me to play on a team and referee because it's a conflict of interest. It's not the same level. You're buddy-buddy chumming it up, going to parties, dancing with the guy who runs the league that you happen to be an owner of. I mean, really? Like, shouldn't that have just been a relationship that was, you know, cut the cord a long, long time ago? Like, I just feel like most people are enraged by what's going on. And anytime anything comes up about the Patriots, everyone's like, kill them, get rid of them, fire them, burn the franchise to the ground because of the relationship Kraft has with Goodell. So you got to think that's why there's so many people that want Goodell gone. They want just a fresh start, fire him, get a new guy in there that doesn't have any relationships with anybody and can play it, you know, and call it like it is and just, you know, clean cut decisions. But realistically, it's just like human referees versus robot referees. Every human referee is going to have, an opinion or a, you know, a swayed call. There's no way you can be 100% unbiased as a human being. It's the same way when you're in an empowered position like the commissioner, and it's like, okay, are we going to find a guy that's only lived in a box his entire life and doesn't have any relationships with any of the owners? And then put him in power so that way you know that when something happens with the Patriots, that Goodell isn't buddy-buddy with this guy. You know, like there's just no way to remove that part of this whole saga. There's relationships that we don't know about or that we know about publicly, and there's just it's never going to go away. So that's my biggest problem, is that it always has looked like Goodell and Kraft hang out on the weekends. Right. And that's the problem. Now, whether or not over the last 6 months, Kraft has been told every time you hear Goodell's name, you make a funny face and you cringe. So people think you hate him, whether or not he truly does hate him, because maybe this whole thing, they were buddies. And now all of a sudden Kraft's like, you know what? You know, because I thought this was going to happen and now you come out and do this. Fine. We're done. You're not my friend anymore. Maybe that is the case. But again, we'll never know, because nothing seems genuine that comes out of the New England Patriots franchise when it comes to rules, you know, any type of wishy-washy situation. It just always seems like there's some kind of under-the-table thing going on. And I don't know, does that start from up top? Does that start with Bill and go down? Maybe it does, but I don't know. I have a problem with that relationship. And then the last thing I wanted to touch on is, ever since we were kids, we've all been pretty good at knowing when someone's lying and knowing when they tell the truth. As you grow up, you start to realize how to psychologically and visually read body language. And like, if someone's telling a lie, there's a good chance that if you're intelligent and you know what to look for, they won't make eye contact. You know, they're looking all over the place. They're getting sweaty. They're very antsy. That there's all kinds of things that make you realize someone's telling a lie. So when I hear somebody telling me something or denying a story and they're lying, you see kind of like a half, you know, like a half attempt, like a half-heartedly attempt, to the point where they're talking and they're like, this guy's lying. You can tell. Hey, Chris, what are you doing, bud?
Well, I mean, to me, and again, guys, I do apologize.
No. Put yourself on mute. I don't want to listen to you talking to your buddies in the background, okay? So take your phone.
I did put myself on. You were on mute. You were on mute, but I unmuted you simply because I do have something to weigh in on here. And like I said, I am at the Saratoga Racetrack, beautiful upstate New York. I don't want any of that to get into the podcast, so I did find a quiet spot to sort of throw in this scenario. And that is this, guys. Okay. So I heard what you were saying. Tom Brady, some people say he's innocent. Most of the state of Massachusetts, most of the you know, I guess, want to say state of New England at this point, but...
You sound like you're in a hurricane, guy.
But what if this had happened, okay? Tom Brady, what if? I know Wade is going to deny up and down that Brady has any involvement in this entire thing. What if he is guilty? What if? I'm just saying, what if Tom Brady is guilty? Does your opinion, Wade, of him change? Do you all of a sudden say, geez, he pulled the wool over my eyes, and do you feel like he is...
No, it doesn't change. You want to know why? Because he let a little air pressure out of a football. He let a little air pressure out of a football. He didn't beat the shit out of his girlfriend and then get his suspension reduced to four games. He reduced the air pressure in a football.
He's not my best friend either. It's not like we sat down at dinner and he was like, Bobby, I'm telling you, man, I didn't do it. I don't care. He's a quarterback for the football team, for the professional football team that I like. No, I'm not gonna think less of him. Even then, I'll tell you that I get it. And it could be any other quarterback or any other situation for some stupid nonsense like this. I would just say no, 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 over and over again as well. You've got people admitting to doing way worse things during games, and you're just beating up the face of the NFL just for the sake of it because somebody cried about it. So no, my opinion wouldn't change. My opinion of his tactics and how I think he conducts himself, legally speaking, might change because, boy, I would think it was silly that he wanted to bring this to court if he is guilty. But again, even if he actually is guilty, when the NFL only has what they have to present, that is not going to be a guilty verdict. Now, so I don't think Tom Brady will ever be found innocent, ever. He'll never be found innocent. He will be found not guilty.
Hey, wait, what are you going to do? I'm going to put you guys, I'm going to go back on mute for a second because I don't want any of the racetrack noise to come in on the podcast. But let me just present a scenario and you guys can bounce it off of each other, okay? Roger Goodell has been wrong, flat out wrong, in the way that he has handled several situations, both this offseason and last
offseason. Yeah, you want to talk about asterisks. You want to talk about needing an asterisk next year.
Yeah.
Roger Goodell could use one.
Well, exactly. But that's another debate. Here's the thing. Do you perhaps think that because he was wrong on all of these things, and his authority was questioned by everybody, from the media to the fan base to the casual fan, do you feel that perhaps Tom Brady, and this whole Tom Brady fiasco, Goodell doubling down, and he thinks he's right. So he goes, you know what? I got to get this one right. I'm not budging. I gave Ray Rice a limited suspension. People wanted to shoot me. I gave Hardy a suspension reduction, Adrian Peterson thing, and people didn't agree with me. I'm standing firm here. And do you guys think that perhaps that this could be a conspiracy from the NFL to take a little bit of light off of the Adrian Peterson fiasco, the Ray Rice fiasco, the Greg Hardy fiasco, have people forget about them and sort of put all their eggs in one basket, everybody focusing on this, to sort of take a little bit of pressure off Roger Goodell?
I mean, if you think that is not happening at least on some level, then you're silly. It's absolutely beneficial to the NFL that you can steer away from the fact that they, as a whole, as far as their reputation to the general public, like Dustin said, to the casual reader, is that there is a lot of criminal activity happening in the NFL by not even just people that are on the bench that you don't know, like star athletes that have no reason for getting DUIs or beating their wives. So, I think on some level, this is absolutely working in that benefit. As far as Roger Goodell is concerned, again, we're talking about somebody who is questionable in their moral integrity at best, because he made a decision that is in better interest of his business to not take a hit by burying something as egregious as the Ray Rice thing. And I'm so sick and tired of the talking about the Ray Rice thing that I rolled my eyes when I said it myself. But it's still, I mean, if you want to talk about somebody's credibility, how is it that everybody can stand and shout from the mountain how much more credible Roger Goodell is than Tom Brady? When, sure, the Patriots have been accused and caught of bending but not breaking the rules numerous times, but Tom Brady has never been a part of it. So, I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I guess I do understand. I just said it myself. Yeah, I think that's happening for sure.
So before Chris decided to interrupt me and just put a stupid scenario in, I was trying to explain how we're all pretty easy. We're all pretty good at spotting liars and stuff like that. My biggest thing here is just that, right? So Tom Brady was accused of doing X, which is letting the ball out, yada, yada, yada. If you are truthfully innocent, what is your immediate reaction to a rumor or to anyone accusing you? You jump up, you scream, you shout. You're like, are you out of your mind? That couldn't be the furthest thing from the truth. And now I know that because I said that, the smart and intelligent liar is also going to have a lot of those characteristics to try to fool you. But eventually when you're lying, that the heart for keeping the lie going, it fizzles out, and all the juice you have, it eventually fizzles out, and then eventually the truth will surface. I just feel like if Tom Brady, if there was no legitimate anything to any of the stories that came out, he would have been, you name it. If he didn't have a Twitter, he would have created a Twitter. If he didn't have a Facebook, which I know he does, he would have created one. His representatives, it doesn't matter. People would have been like, absolutely not. This is ridiculous. Stop trying to taint my legacy. There isn't even a shadow of, there's no 0.5% chance that I do that. But the fact is he lets it ride out for like 3 days. And then eventually his dad goes on the air and says, no, that's not true. You know, Tom's really hurt by this, yada, yada, yada. It's like, dude, how is this any different than most, you know, recently there was a guy who was accused of something and then his mom had to come on and be like, everybody needs to stop picking on my son and blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, keep your family away. All right. Don't pull an RG3 and send your dad to come handle your problems for you. If Tom was truly innocent, the type of guy that he is, you see him on the field, he's an in-your-face guy. He does not back down from a challenge. If he's that innocent and he cares about his legacy as much as we all know he does, he would have been up denying it, taking it to court that second for defamation of character and all the other crap that could have been attacked on from everybody starting all this crap to try to take him down. But you didn't see one bit of resistance or fight back from him until he had, you know, talked to multiple sources and decided what's his best course of action and what the best approach should be for him to fire back. That's my biggest problem with that whole situation, and I'm curious to see what you two have to think about that. Maybe if Chris can find a bathroom or something where we don't have to listen to crap in the background and cars and doors opening and the radio, maybe we can get his take finally and it doesn't sound like he's in a hurricane. I don't know. We'll see what happens here.
I'm not against him doing that at all. In day-to-day life, regular life, people like you and I agree 100% with what you're saying. Somebody says something that's not true, your first reaction, the first thing that you want to do is
to be
jump
instant.
Up and scream and go, yeah. No way. However, we're talking about people who, again, everything is calculated. Now, Tom Brady not necessarily is calculated, but his lawyers are calculated. So, again, I'm not saying that this is true, but my ability to cast doubt on this is second to none, because I honestly can't tell you that I don't think that he woke up the next morning And while you and me and everybody else at SportsCenter, NBC Sports, everybody is just freaking out about the deflated balls. While that's happening, Tom Brady is asleep, and he wakes up and you know, with a message from his lawyers telling him to just be quiet.
Victory is mine.
We don't know how we don't know how serious this is. We don't even know if you did it or not yet, because that's not a discussion that we're having. We just need you to be quiet. Not even his lawyers, but his PR team. Not the people that represent the Patriots. Not the people that represent the league. The people that represent Tom Brady. I'm confident in saying that I think that he was told to be quiet and wait for it to play out, and they all sat at a table and made a collective decision before they wanted him to jump up and start screaming, you know, forget that, that's not true, I would have never done that.
Well, of course he was told to be quiet. That's what lawyers do. That's what lawyers do. Of course he was told as a client to be quiet. But let me ask you another thing here. I'll do my best Kanye West and let you finish in a minute. But, I mean, wait. I understand.
I'm gonna start making the shot every time you say that. Every time you say
yeah,
that,
I know,
you
right?
Five push-ups.
Me doing five push-ups too. Right, you want to give me a heart attack? I mean, geez, geez, Louise, it's like asking a fat kid to walk a flight of stairs.
Come up with new lines. You're better than that.
So,
because someone came in the mail today. These nuts. Got him. Got him.
That's good. You did kind of put one up over on me there for a second. But I mean, the last thing I got to ask, really, and it's not, it maybe is something that touched on really what you've already covered in this whole thing. But do you feel that the golden child of the NFL, Tom Brady, who really hasn't had anything go wrong in his career from an on-the-field, off-the-field standpoint. I mean, the whole Spygate thing that happened years ago was a more of an organizational thing than it was Tom Brady. In fact, it was an all organizational thing and not Tom Brady. But do you think that even if Brady gets off, even if he gets this suspension reduced, doesn't miss a game, doesn't have to pay a fine, this whole thing is resolved and we forget about it by November, or at least the fans do anyway, do you feel that Tom Brady gets the asterisk anyway just for being involved in something that, quote-unquote, is a smear on the integrity of the game? Do you feel that Brady perhaps will kind of be screwed either way here?
Absolutely.
100%. Absolutely. He's not coming back from it. And you use terms like the NFL's golden boy. I think we have clear evidence that that's not the case. Roger Goodell clearly holds no higher esteem for Tom Brady than anybody else in the league.
Wouldn't you think the golden boy would be Peyton Manning, considering he's never had anything negative said about him, any breaking the rules, any anything, no, like, you know, domestic violence, no, you know, nothing. Like, if you wanted to look at an NFL golden boy, you would currently have to say probably, like, you know, the Rodgers and the Lux of the world. Maybe Luck will take it in a couple years. But I would think if we're looking at a veteran for that label, that golden boy label, I mean, how do you not look directly in the eyes of Peyton Manning? They should pretty much name the MVP award after the guy.
I agree. For sure. I mean, there's no way that Peyton Manning would not be considered the golden boy of the NFL.
I just feel like with what he's accomplished, you know, all the records he's broken, you know, all the awards he's won. Yeah, we understand what the criticism he takes from the postseason. All right, everybody gets that. But if you're looked at as, like, you know, the ambassador for the league, you know, that person that when you think of the NFL, this image of this person comes to mind. I got to believe that more likely than not, I would associate that with Peyton Manning and not necessarily Tom Brady. I feel like the nickname Golden Boy is just kind of another way of saying the goody two shoe, you know, because Tom Brady was always looked at as, well, he's, you know, he's untouchable. He's married to the supermodel and he's got his, you know, his kids and He's wearing Uggs and this, that. He's a pretty boy. So I think that that moniker, that NFL golden boy, is almost like a double-edged sword. It's like people love saying it because they almost use it as like a, hey, screw you, Tom Brady, you golden boy. You know, that's the way I feel like people think of it when they think of Tom Brady. But if you were to really dissect the term golden boy, you would think it'd mean like the face of the league. You would think of like a golden boy in baseball, Derek Jeter, you know, like, so a golden boy for football to me wouldn't really be Tom Brady. I'm not taking a dig. I'm just saying you would have to stand for everything that's right. That's the shield. That's the NFL. And it seems like I'd be leaning way more towards Peyton Manning than Tom Brady. I don't know what you think, Chris or Wade.
No, I agree. 100%. I agree. And having said that, I need to cut out early because I am heading to a Free Brady rally.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today, Wade. I guess I'll have to, I'm going to have to finish the show out with Racetrack Chris here and see if we can get anything going.
All right. Well, maybe while I'm gone, you can coach him and give him some more lines.
All right. Will do. Have a good one.
Bye, guys.
So, a fiery, Wade, we knew he was always a little ball of passion, but boy, oh boy, Wednesdays with Wade just got turned on his ear. He has some strong opinions. He definitely does. I mean, most Patriots fans, I think, do.
They will stand by their man. I'll tell you that. Yeah, if you're a Patriots fan, if you're a Patriots, pretty much New England, Boston, you don't mess with their sports teams if you're that fan. You know, there are definitely the bandwagoners. I'll give you that. The pink hats and all the people that, you know, that just, you know, grab the jerseys because they happen to be on clearance or whatever. Those people I don't have as much respect for, but the passionate, the true fans, it's hard to get a word in usually with them.
Well, I mean, it's sort of like, New Englanders are always going to have that approach. Like the Boston Red Sox are in last this year, and they're way out of the division. And if you walk up to a Red Sox fan, and you're like, yo, the Red Sox suck this year. They'll be like, no, they don't.
Well, I mean,
you got to
be a pretty petty individual to walk up to a Red Sox fan and try to beat them down right now. So if you're doing that, then I give the permission to the Red Sox fan to turn around and punch you in the face, because I'd be pretty annoyed if my team was doing that poorly.
And
then somebody walked up to me and was like, oh, blah, 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 blah. See, maybe this is another debate for next week. But the one thing I hate about certain sports fans is when you don't just cheer your team, you say, you suck. You know, like, so me being a Cowboys fan, right? I grew up in New England. I didn't walk around and find Patriots fans and be like, oh, the Patriots suck. You're a loser, blah, 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 blah.
I've been the best in the league for a decade.
It doesn't matter. When I see a Redskins fan walking down the street, and I hate, with a capital hate, the Redskins, I don't walk up to the Redskins guy and go, Redskins suck, RG3's a joke. I just say, go
Cowboys.
Oh, I do.
I see a Redskins guy.
Yes.
I walk up to a Redskins fan in the bar and throw beer on him.
Yeah, you're the definition of just a dirtbag fan. I hate those fans.
I'm kidding, but I don't
for your team. Don't shit on the opposition guys. You know, if you're at a Cowboys game and you see a guy there with his family that's rooting for the opposing team, you don't throw beer at the guy. You don't spit on him. You don't tell him he sucks and try to insult his family. I just cheer even louder for my team. That's all.
Well, that's good. I mean, and that's what you got to do. I mean, being a Cowboys fan, it's been a tough decade. We've been on the brunt of, oh, you guys suck, more so than we've said it to other people. But, you know, this whole Patriots thing, we do only have about 5 or so minutes left to go here. Wednesdays with Wade, Tom Brady classifies. We talk about this all the time with off-the-field issues. We talked about a little bit of the Cowboys' off-the-field issues. Greg Hardy, should he be suspended 10? Should he not? It's the same thing, really. The only reason he was making a big deal about it is because it's Tom Brady. I mean, it's because it's like I said, I know Wade doesn't like the term golden boy, but that's really what he is. I mean, he can do no wrong, especially in New England. And Tom Brady has been, face it, I mean, if you disagree with me or not, but he's been the face of the NFL for right around a decade or so. The Patriots
really?
Are the most.
Tom Brady? Tom Brady's been the face, not Peyton Manning?
Yeah, no, the Patriots are the marquee organization. They are the marquee organization. They are the big ticket organization. They are what drives, you know, this league. For everybody's out to beat the Patriots. Everybody.
Chris, would you say that Tim Duncan is the face of the NBA, or would you say that Steph Curry is the face of the NBA just because that team won the championship? No, you'd say LeBron James. That championships have nothing to do with it, dude. It's who,
well, sure,
who literally who leads in jersey sales.
Been...
Who is the NFL when you think of it? Who's in the most commercials? I think it's the most marketed guy, dude. I don't think Tom Brady has been the face of the NFL for the last 5 years. No way. Not even the last decade. It's been the team. And even when the Patriots have won, it hasn't been because Tom Brady threw for 5 touchdowns and 400 yards. It's usually a team win.
Well, I'm actually here with a Broncos fan right now up at Saratoga Racetrack. I don't know if he's a tourist or if he's just an upstate New Yorker who likes the Broncos, but here with a Broncos fan, and he actually made a pretty good point, and I'll get to it in 1 second, but he does agree with me. He's listening to the show here as we're, well, he's listening to my end of the show anyway, as we're sitting here talking, and what he is doing is he agrees that Tom Brady is the face of the organization. He's the face of the, really, the NFL lately. And I mean, you know, I think anybody.
If you're going to go by that, then what? Is Greg Hardy the face of the NFL lately because he got suspended for beating the crap out of his girl? Is anybody who's in the news currently the face of the NFL just because they're in the news for doing something stupid? No, the face is the face, is the leading guy, the push that you're giving all the marketing tools to, that you're putting in all the commercials. It's probably Aaron Rodgers. And then if you're going to go next, you would say, well, it's probably Peyton Manning. And then if you're going to go down the list, I think you eventually get to Brady, but you can't tell me that, you know, Brady's the face of the NFL just because he's been accused of cheating.
True. And, you know, I mean, honestly, though, I don't even think that a Broncos fan at this point would say that Peyton Manning is the face of the league just because Peyton Manning hasn't been as successful as Tom Brady. He hasn't had, like you mentioned LeBron James. LeBron James would be the face of the NBA because he's been the Tom Brady of the NBA since he's been in the league. He's been the polarizing figure, the one that everybody wants to beat. He's been on successful teams despite not always winning the championship. He's been on successful teams, and you know, I definitely think that
Chris, you're going to compare Tom Brady to LeBron James right now. Tom Brady's single performances to LeBron James's single performances, the 40-point games, the triple doubles, he is the only guy that's doing everything for his team. You're going to tell me that Tom Brady is that capacity to the New England Patriots?
Yeah. Actually, I am. And, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, or feel free to,
you
know.
You are wrong. That's terrible. Tom Brady is not. Tom Brady is not. There are games that the Patriots win where they barely put up 20 points, and they're rushing, and they rush for 2 touchdowns, rush for 3 touchdowns. Brady had more single touchdown games. How are you? We only got 90 seconds left of the show, man. But, wow, we're going to have to save that for next week. That is terrible.
Well, what we have here is we have a debate for next week. Look at that. Topics. What we've got, this is Wednesday with Wade, Tom Brady classified, as always, Chris McSwiggin, as always, Dustin Bourque. And, well, we had a different side of Wade today. Kind of scary. We'll see y'all next week. Wednesday with Wade, the stars align.
Thank you. Ask not what your country can do for you.